The worst case scenario, I'll just have to explain to the audience that it's Australian summer, so it's hot in Sydney, while it's freaking cold here in Wisconsin. Yeah. So hello, guys.
Hello.
Okay, yeah. I want to introduce you guys to the audience this way. One of the big things that I like to preach to the people at Nonfiction Brandversity and wherever I go talk and speak and present to people is social media is great, but the best form of social media is exactly what we're doing right now, and that is face-to-face. And I can think of no better illustration of that concept than to talk about the way that we met. Now, I am a self-admitted, high-functioning introvert, meaning I would rather be binge-watching Netflix or something like that than going out and meeting people, especially at a conference that I had never been to and no one I knew was there. You know, there were no personal friends or anything like that. So literally, I show up at Social Media Marketing World in February of 2018, not knowing a soul. And this is big for me. I'll admit, it's like my parents kicking me out of the car at summer camp and saying, survive for the next several months. And the night before the whole thing kicks off, there's kind of an unofficial, but a lot of people go to it, mixer event at a bar in one of the hotels that's right near the venue for the entire conference. And there are a lot of people there. A lot of people know each other. It's like going to a summer camp the first time and everybody knows everybody else except you, the new kid. So I'm feeling like,
I don't know anybody.
And I'm standing by the kind of corner of the bar and I'm literally looking at my watch going, okay, I'll make it another 10 minutes and then I'm out of here. And then up walks a guy who sits down in the chair next to me and orders some drinks with an accent that is not exactly heard in my neck of the woods all that often. And so I think I turned to you, Todd, and I said, hey, you're not from around here, are you? Where are you from? And then we hit off a conversation. And I learned the biggest pro tip for anyone going to a conference ever. And that is listen for Australian accents, find them, hang out with them. Because once you know one, you'll know all of them. And you won't be at the bar for 5 hours having a great time. And that's certainly what happened. And shortly after meeting you, Todd, Alex walks up and introduces herself. And we start having this fantastic conversation. And I just want to say meeting you guys pre-first day of the event made the entire event that much more comfortable and wonderful. And since then, we've been able to connect via social media. Mm-hmm. And that's been really delightful as well because I follow your stuff and I make snarky comments on your Instagram photos and things like that.
We look like an idea catalog.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but you do. You kind of
I like that.
Yeah, you look like your Australian stock photo models or perhaps an IKEA catalog. Yeah. But anyway, this is not about me talking about you guys. I want to ask you some questions about what you do. So Fletch Digital, based in Sydney, Australia, you're all about working digital footprints or doing digital marketing for a bunch of different clients. Can you give me a quick spiel about what Fletch Digital is all about?
Yeah, well, I guess we, at our core, we're social media strategists. We basically will take a client and present them online wherever they need to be in, you know, social media specifically, and we'll convert their what they do day to day into something that works on social media and allow them to connect to their audience and their audience to connect to them. And whether that be customers or even if it's just fans or people that are just interested in what they're doing, we cater for, I guess, optimal exposure on social media.
What types of businesses do you serve? Do you do everything from solo people to small business to much bigger?
Yeah, we have a bit of a range of clients. We have sort of, I guess, a couple of medium businesses. We have a couple of small e-commerce fashion businesses, like boutique type online fashion businesses.
And Todd's a Facebook ad specialist as well. So we do quite a lot of Facebook ads work for businesses like that.
Yeah, and then we have like a couple of a national retailer, a national project home builder, And we've just brought on we're doing some community management work for a global construction company now as well that's based in Australia or based in Sydney. So yeah, we've kind of got to cover a few different bases with what we do, and we provide, I guess, yeah, services from Facebook ads to organic social media strategy to community management, you name it, we sort of do it all.
We definitely started out focusing on small to medium businesses, but I think as we grew, our potential clients got bigger.
We've been operating now for about 4.5 years. Certainly in Australia, social media in that time has become so much more in demand for any type of business.
We've gone from, at the beginning, people would say, what do you do? And we would say, we're social media managers or we're social media strategists. And people, the response would be, what is that? Is that really a job? And now, 4.5 years later, the response is more often than not, really? That's cool. Can I have your card?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's certainly true here in the United States as well. We might be a little bit ahead of the timeline, but not by much. It's amazing how many people in the United States are still just getting on the social media bandwagon, mm-hmm. especially from the point of view of trying to build and create their own personal brands online rather than just a series of random posts. The idea of approaching social media as a strategic endeavor that can help attract people, get engagement, convert to product sales, you name it. That's still new to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The global supernationals have been doing it forever, but it's now getting to the point where a lot of the people I talk to are individuals. They might be lawyers, they might be real estate people, even down to people who work within businesses. There's mm-hmm. kind of a bubbling term that's being used a lot called an intrapreneur, where you work with inside a business, but you want to build your personal brand within that business. So you're now sought out by other peoples within that company. Yeah. You know, one of the examples I use a lot is, okay, let's say you work for a large company. And by large, I mean 500 plus people, multiple offices, maybe even international. Now, your company decides they want to have an interdisciplinary team to look at a specific project or a specific initiative. So they're picking one person from this office, one person from this office, and one person from this office. Well, wouldn't you like to be the person they pick from your office because you've built a personal brand presence within your business of sufficient height or notoriety or awareness that all of a sudden they go, yeah, we'll take Todd and Alex from Sydney and we'll get Jim and Sheila from New York. You know, wouldn't you like to be on that team or would you like to sit in your cubicle and eat chips?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it depends on the day.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you this, because again, I don't know a lot of Australians, but I was able to meet not only you, but a couple of others, including the inimitable Kate Toon.
Yeah,
she's appeared on this podcast and probably will
love
again.
Listen to us.
Yeah. I think she's going to be on. We're going to record in January of next year. And at the time when I was talking to Kate, I was mentioning how LinkedIn was becoming a bigger and bigger thing for especially a lot of people in the United States. And not just the people who serve business to business, but the people who really wanted to present their professional bona fides in a powerful way. What's LinkedIn in Australia look like at this juncture?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, in the same sense, growing at a similar rate from what it sounds like in the US as well. Although we generally agree that we're a couple of years behind you guys, but I've definitely...
I feel the gap is closing there.
Yeah.
Because 10 years ago, Australia used to be 5 years behind the US. And over the last decade, we're bridging that.
Yeah, yeah. So we've definitely seen a lot of growth in a broad range of, you know, people from entrepreneurs to people that work at some of the big firms here in Sydney, you know, going from not being or being sort of passive users or just sharing content to actually just being much more active and being more upfront with their content on LinkedIn. And I think it's becoming almost a necessity in a lot of businesses as well, and a lot of individuals that are using it. And like I'm talking about the PricewaterhouseCoopers, the Ernst & Young's, these big, huge firms where individuals that work there are being super active on LinkedIn.
I think there's been a massive shift over the last couple of years from thinking of LinkedIn as a resume site. In Australia, up until, I would say, a couple of years ago, LinkedIn was you went there when you needed a job and when you were looking for a job. And there's been a massive shift towards it being your professional self online, I think.
Yeah.
That's not really different than it is here in the United States because I was at one of the speakers I went to at Social Media Marketing World was Guy Kawasaki. And he was great and very provocative. And he uses LinkedIn like Facebook. I mean, to the point where he will admit that he will post inflammatory stuff that is kind of incendiary. I don't want to say inflammatory. It's more incendiary.
Yeah.
Especially he'll say things politically about the American political system and what we're facing right now that he'll say, I'll get 50 people and I'll lose 50 people.
Yeah.
Because of that point. And he was making the larger point that LinkedIn is an incredible place to be because as I recall him saying it, he said, a lot of people ask me, what's the next great social media platform? And Guy Kawasaki said, I tell everybody the same thing. It's already here and it's called LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why was that you are more likely to be the person you say you are on LinkedIn than any other platform. And I was thinking about that the other day because it was such a great talk that the ideas that he was talking about keep percolating in my mind. And I realized as I was typing in a response to someone on LinkedIn, I did the at symbol and I started putting in their name and I went, wow, try doing that on Instagram or, you know, any place where people are using pseudonyms or anonymous personas or avatars. But on LinkedIn, you really are who you are. And that's the power of it. And that's why I find it so attractive.
Yeah. And I think on that, it's because it has more of a specific purpose than Facebook or Instagram. You know, I mean, they have those platforms have their purpose, but the way that people use Facebook and Instagram is so varied, where LinkedIn is specifically about business and careers and individuals, and everything else is sort of filtered out of it. And it's more about professional thinking and thing. And I think that that's why it's become such more of a engagement platform over this last little period.
There's a lot less mindless scrolling on LinkedIn. I think you go there with a purpose.
Yeah. Although that is changing. I literally in the past several months, well, the big thing, and I don't know if you've seen this from where you are as much, but video is going nuts on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And yet the quality to crap ratio of that video is almost Facebookian when it comes to, Hey, actually, there's more good stuff on Facebook because there are cat videos, you know, or fun dog videos or cute kid videos. On LinkedIn, it tends to be someone who wants to be a guru saying, follow your bliss, be the best person you can
be. There's a learning curve to social media. I think any type of social media, there's your starting point and then where you get to, you know, when you become a power user and
power
user. That it can be, there's a lot of lessons to learn along the way. And I think that the audience, your audience or anyone's audience defines what content you put out. And if you're generating that content that is not interesting or not good or whatever, your audience will respond to it they will respond by not responding. And that will then be one little lesson along the way. Maybe I shouldn't put out those guru videos where I try to...
Those guru people are so big on LinkedIn at the moment because they had their time on Facebook, they've had their time on Instagram, and they've been discovered along the way for what they are on those platforms, and they've had to move on. Whereas on LinkedIn, there's still less people there. They're still engaging a lot and they've got a little bit of opportunity there. But that will change, just like we saw it change with Facebook and then with Instagram. And Twitter is obviously just in a state of continual change.
Oh, yeah. Twitter is like a popcorn popper.
Yeah, exactly.
Never stops moving, never stops migrating, and really never has the nutritional value that you would like. It is like popcorn. Yeah.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
So, Alex, if Todd is the Facebook ads guy, what are you, or what's your specialty? What's your area of expertise?
Well, I do most of our organic social media strategy and management. So what that means is we will work together to prepare a strategy for a client. And then I execute a lot of them. Todd's definitely in there too, but I execute a lot of them. So that means putting together content that we don't put an ad spend behind on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever it is, and then having that content approved by the client and then sending it out. So basically the goal there is usually with organic to build their community, to build their online community and deliver their audience what they really want and what they're looking for from that particular social media platform.
How much of the day-to-day feed and care and maintenance of the communities do you do? Are you actively doing the social listening and responding?
Yep. That depends on the client and how much they want us to listen. So we will have a pre-nominated set of hours that I'll do that each week. And I will then break that into whatever it might be, a half an hour a day, an hour, three times a week, whatever it will be. So we have a response period that is predetermined client. And then we have response matrices. So we'll come back to them if it's the kind of thing that I can't answer on my own, or if it's the kind of thing I can answer on my own, I will.
Yeah. We're pretty hands-on with what we do, because what has got us to this point is our skills, what's in our head, our expertise. So we are very focused on each word that we write on behalf of a client, because it needs to speak their voice. Everything that you write online on social media for a client can be analyzed or torn apart or used in some sort of way. So we need to make sure their voice is clear in every communication. I mean, we do have contractors that we use for certain aspects to help streamline our processes, but at the end of the day, a lot of stuff falls onto us, because that's the way we want it to be. That's how we've gotten to this point. We know that our clients value our hands-on approach.
Yeah, so lots of clients, when we hear from them in the beginning, they like who we are. They like that they can speak to us and that we will be doing the work. And we have plans to scale our business, but we will do so keeping that in mind, knowing that people like speaking to us, and then knowing that we are then the ones rolling out the work.
So really, that's a big part of your Fletch Digital brand is if you're hiring Fletch Digital, you're hiring Alex and Todd. And even though everyone understands that some of the work might have to be organized or coordinated by some people, they want to have specific hands-on opportunities, face-to-face meetings with you, conversations, and know that you've got significant skin in their game.
And, you know, the name of the game at the moment is humanization of your social media. Everyone is talking about it. It's the best way to find your online community and to grow it. And we've had specific requests for my copy. We've had clients contact us and request for me to write their copy, because people know that I write our copy and that speaks to them.
I think a lot of people don't realize how much of a skill is required to be able to communicate a brand's voice through social media, and not just, you know, once or twice or on the odd occasion, like every single day.
Again and again and again and again.
So, you know, to be that consistent and to be that clear and to be that open and to be able to kind of make that connection between an audience and a brand or a business is a skill. And Alex has definitely mastered that, I have to say. So it takes a special person to be able to kind of do that. And I think that our clients that we have at the moment know that and appreciate the effort that we put in and what we write.
Well, I want to follow this humanization idea further, because it's getting back to what I said previously, kind of about social media, which is it's a human to human interaction.
Absolutely.
Maybe via social media, which is a digital platform, but it's one of the reasons I always want to do podcasts with the video on is so that we can make eye contact, even though we aren't making direct eye contact. But I can see if, okay, I'm losing you. Oh, no, you're back. Okay, good. You know, you get all these social cues from seeing someone's face. A good writer will be able to read someone's post or response to them and be able to more or less immediately ascertain, oh, they're kind of upset, or they really have no clue what they're asking me. Let me see if I can help them out by taking their question. reformulating it and playing it back to them and having them just say, yeah, that's exactly it. Great. Mm-hmm. Now we're on the same page. But a lot of people don't necessarily have that finely attuned ear or that finely attuned eye and ear when it comes to looking at posted material. But to me, and I'm coming at this from a writer's point of view, because I've been one of those people saying, you don't know how hard this is. Yeah, well, it looks so easy. It just flows so well. And say, do you know how hard it was for me to make your piece a flow? But it's really true. And on social, that humanization thing is so, so very, very important. Especially, you talked about voices. Yes. You know, each company you work with has to have a separate voice. How do you keep those voices separate? Do you have a different hat you put on when you start writing copy for one or the other?
It's definitely our preference to provide a tone of voice document in the initial stages of us working with a new client. That's my favorite thing to do. If they opt in for that, I love it because it's groundwork that we get to lay together. And I dive very deep in the tone of voice document and I nominate specific words that we will use and specific words that we don't use. It's especially important when we're working with clients that are on their own socials as well. So if we're working with a client where Todd's doing Facebook ads and I'm running copy for Facebook ads, they're actually managing their own organic social media, that tone of voice document is especially important because right straight up, if I get something wrong, the client can say, no, I don't like that word. Or that word that you've nominated as a no-go zone, I don't understand what's wrong with that. And then we can talk about what I thought was wrong with it, or we can talk about what I didn't think was wrong with something, and we can really set the groundwork for the beginnings of their voice online.
Yeah, it becomes a roadmap, I think, of what, you know, there's some clear things outlined of where we need to be. So it helps us funnel all the work down to be as consistent as possible.
And then I keep those tone of voice documents and they pass them out internally if they're using them for their website copy and so on. But when I hop into a client's account to write their copy, whether it's for their website or socials or whatever it is, I'll usually go over that, familiarize myself with it, just get myself into their voice. It's it becomes easier when you're working with different clients, but that's a trick too, is not working with too many clients at that level. Is when you have too many, you lose the capacity to hop between their different voices, or their voices are just not as strong as they should be.
Well, I'm talking with Alex and Todd Austin of Fletch Digital in Sydney, Australia. And I met these guys at Social Media Marketing World and they've become fast personal friends, whether they like it or not.
We like it.
Good. See, they like me. But what I really like what you just said is about that tone document, that voice document. As you know, Nonfiction Brandversity is really about personal branding or small business. I mean, very small business, typically you and another person type things. It's not meant for anybody who's got a 50-person company, but it could. But we're focusing very niche-like on that important point where people really need to understand, and I always sum it up by this bumper sticker saying, know who you are so you can be it. This idea of if you know what's important to you, if you know what you don't stand for, you're way ahead of the game. Because unfortunately, I do make fun of the guru wannabe videos all over the place because I see them way too much. But that's because I know who I am enough to say, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and if you ever see me do a video like that, please put a bullet in my head because it means that I'm starting to lose it. But individual people are as strong a brand as multinationals that speak in every language around the globe. And early on in my career, when I worked on Coca-Cola in Atlanta, Georgia, I used to have my butt handed to me as a copywriter. If it didn't cover certain bases, they had three words: authenticity, refreshment, and sociability. If every communication didn't kind of cover those bases, they were dead on arrival. It could be a great idea. It could be funny. It could be touching. It could make you cry. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't cover these three brand, communication, tone, voice bases, boom, it's dead. Yes. It sounds like, Alex, that's exactly what you like to do too, is create that document that becomes the thing that clients hold your feet to the fire on.
Yeah.
But you can also turn around and say to the client, I like what you're saying. We can't say it that way for these reasons that we both agreed on. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And we both, the client and I, can really understand where each one of us is coming from right off the bat, not when we're a month in, not when we're diving into this piece of copy that they have specific little problems with and I'm not quite sure how to fix it or something. We're on the same page right from the first step.
Yeah. My advice to people that are doing it, this sort of thing individually is having their voices, as those words you said, the Coca-Cola, if you know, authenticity and that sort of thing, if you have those words that your brand or your personal brand is built around, write them down, put them up on posters at your desk. So they're always in front of you. And so the whole point of that tone of voice document or just having those big key words easily accessible for you is that everything you do on social media or when you talk to clients or whatever you do in your day-to-day business needs to encompass those words. So having them at the top of your mind is so important.
Well, we're coming to the end of a first episode, one of two, but I love this idea of knowing your words. And anyone who loves Game of Thrones knows that every house on Westeros has their words. And if you're from the north, winter is coming. Well, I'm here to say, if you're from Australia, Fletch Digital is coming next week on the next episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Todd, Alex, it's so great to have you guys on. I'm so looking forward to continuing this conversation, which we will do as soon as I hit the pause button into our next episode. But again, I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. And with me today are my favorite Australians,
Todd and Alex.
Todd and Alex Austin of Fletch Digital.
Todd did an American accent.
Okay. Todd, give me your American accent.
Well, when I go to order at Starbucks, when we're in the US, if I say Todd in my Australian accent, they come up with all types of crazy things that they think I'm saying.
But it's usually Doug.
Yeah, Doug or crazy names. But so I say, you know, one cappuccino and they'll say, you know, what's your name? And I go, Todd.
And what do you say at home?
And now I've started, when I go, if I order coffee here and they ask my name, I've started just automatically saying Todd in my American accent.
But he actually says Todd.
Yeah. So that's the extent of it. I don't want to embarrass myself any further.
No, it's okay, because we are two nations separated by a common language. So it's really great talking with you guys. We'll see you next week with the next episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Bye-bye.